The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How many of you celebrate birthdays? Anybody got a birthday coming up this week? If you do, oh, good, good. Chocolate cake? Chocolate and bring me a piece. Okay. I didn't ask it just for that, but how many of you celebrate wedding anniversaries? How many of you celebrate your baptism? Okay, we've got a couple, good. Now, how can you go to the sacrament of marriage and celebrate that without celebrating the sacrament of baptism? Because that's the entranceway to all the sacraments. You know, unfortunately, because most of us were baptized many, many moons ago, it's kind of this thing that happened in the past. And yet, the sacrament of baptism is not this one-day ritual and it's over with. Like all the sacraments, it continues on because it's about God. It's about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't go into us on our baptism day, then get out, and that's it. No, he's there dwelling within us all the time. So that every day we are challenged and called to recommit ourselves to our baptism, to continue to living the baptism that began 10, 50, 70 years ago. It's like marriage. Yes, the wedding ritual is, you know, actually it's over and done with within less 5 minutes, the vows. But the marriage only is beginning when those vows are taken. And every single day, married couples are called to grow in that marriage, to celebrate it, to recommit themselves to it. The same with my ordination. Yes, when the bishop laid hands on me, I became a priest. That wasn't it. It only started the whole process of the sacrament of holy orders. So all of the sacraments, including the Eucharist that we're celebrating now, are these eternal divine events that we are called to live every single day. And unfortunately, we forget to do that. You know, we get wrapped up in the world and we do what the world says, you know, save money, buy this, go there. But our baptisms and the sacraments are saying to us, are you living the life of Jesus Christ? Are you enjoying the welling up of the Holy Spirit as we hear in the gospel today that we have in all the sacraments, especially in baptism? We have these stories of water today because during Lent there are many people, catechumens, who are preparing for baptism. And at the Easter Vigil, during the Easter day, many people will be baptized. And hopefully they will be prepared so that when it happens, they see it's the end of an old life, the beginning of a new life, but just the beginning. A beginning that's supposed to continue on every single day so that the individual is growing in their understanding of God, their love of God, their thirsting for God, so that they want to learn more and more and more about God and devote their lives to God. You know, Jesus says that because of the Holy Spirit, we will not thirst. Well, we won't thirst because we always have the availability of God there. He's always with us. But maybe it's not a bad thing to thirst, especially for God, so that we want to learn more about God and grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. But the sacraments are there not only to nourish us and fill us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they're also there to prompt us to go deeper into our faith, to live our lives more deeply. So that's why I was asking if anybody celebrates baptism, because that's the moment when we become children of God. That's when we become members of the kingdom of God. And that's really the covenantal sign through which we are owned in a real sense by God and therefore committed to him and his kingdom. And that's supposed to be number one in our lives. Baptism reorients our lives to Jesus Christ. So that each and every day we're supposed to be saying to ourselves, okay, Lord, how will I worship you today? How will I show your love for others? how will I give the soothing waters of your Holy Spirit to others through my words and through my deeds? How will I be your child and let your light shine through me? So each and every day, that's really our call, to work at our baptism. So just like becoming good at a musical instrument or riding a bike, we're going to be really good at being baptized Christians. Now, God does the hard work. He does the amazing stuff, because when we are baptized, when we are immersed into the saving waters of baptism, we come out a new creation. We come out stamped with the image of Jesus Christ. So if you think of a tattoo, but a divine tattoo, that's what we've got here. Now, we don't see it, but it's there. And it means that we are called to continue the work of Jesus Christ. The church says through baptism, we become another Christ. You and I, through our baptisms, become another Christ, which means we've got to do what Jesus did. We've got to proclaim the gospel. We've got to feed people. We've got to comfort those in prison, those who are sick. Clothe the naked, give drink to those who are thirsty. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. He healed people. Are we healing people? He raised people from the dead. Are we raising people from the dead? Now, you may say, where does that come from? Well, from Jesus. Jesus said before he rose to the Father, he said, you will do what I have done and greater things. Are those greater things happening? But it all begins with our baptisms, as we become another Christ and called and challenged to do the work of Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, who am I to do that? Well, if you're baptized, you're a child of God. You're a new creation. You are another Christ. So we need to say to ourselves, God has brought me into his covenant. He has brought me into his church. He has brought me into his holy body. Therefore, I have work to do. Not the work of the world, which is this way and that way, pulls us every which way, but the very clear work that God gives us to walk in his path and to do what good disciples do. And as I said, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God, to lead people in worship, to warn other people, no, that's not the way to Jesus Christ, to raise people's voices in worship and prayer. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we don't do it just here on Sunday. We come here on Sunday to celebrate the Eucharist so that we can have that Holy Spirit churning in us, so we can remember that we have that Holy Spirit through baptism, through confirmation, through marriage, through holy orders, through the sacrament of penance, all those wonderful sacraments, so that we are reminded that we have real, real divine power when we go forth from this church to continue the work of God. So here is Jesus giving us example of what we could do. He engages in talk with a Samaritan woman. Now, that was a no-no. He did what he should not have done, number one, because he's a man, a single man, and this is a woman at the well, a Samaritan, who were hated by the Jews. And why was she there drawing water at noon? Well, because she was a fallen woman. That's why. She would not have gone in the morning, because of the other woman wouldn't have wanted her there with them. But she goes at noon, and Jesus engages her. And what does he do? He stirs up that thirst in her. He says, I can give you this water that you can have through the Holy Spirit, and you'll never, never thirst again. And so she wants it. She's thirsting for it. Are we doing that with other people? Are we thirsting for more and more? And are we saying to other people the words of salvation, Jesus Christ, that will stir up that thirst in them? There are many, many people all over the world who are dying of spiritual thirst and spiritual hunger. And here we are in the Eucharist, gorging on the Holy Spirit, eating the Word of God, eating the body and blood of God. We have the perfect food. And we need to let other people know that that food is available to them. So as disciples of the Lord, beginning through baptism, We are called to go out and build up the kingdom, to encounter people wherever they are, people who are friends, people who are enemies, people who are outcasts, doesn't matter. We're called to go to them and help them thirst and hunger for the living bread, the living water of Jesus Christ. That's our goal if we want to really live our baptisms. And every one of us has more than enough power through God's blessings to be very active, courageous, powerful disciples of the Lord. So remember your baptism. Take a moment sometime during this week. I probably don't remember when it happened. It was so long ago. But remember that you were baptized. You became a new creation. You were stamped with the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "You're mine now, and this is the work I have for you." And the more we think of that, and the more we say, "Lord, help me to thirst and desire you more and more," the more we're going to want to learn about the Lord, and the more we're going to want to share it with other people, just as Jesus did. He didn't hold back. He had a good excuse not to talk to that woman, but this was one of the creations of God, and therefore he had a duty as a faithful child of God the Father to bring her the good news of salvation. So you and I are in the same boat. We have the same commitment through our baptisms to go forth and provide this living water, which is the Holy Spirit, to other people to help them thirst for it so that they too will want to be baptized, become members of the kingdom of God, become real disciples of the Lord, and do the work that God has given us. So again, as you go forth this week, think about your baptism. What does it mean to you? Does it mean anything? What have you done to live your baptism over the last week? What might you do this week as a way of saying to God, "Yes, I value that great sacrament that I have been given, and this is how I want to thank you, by doing this, by doing that, by taking time simply to be with you, Lord, and to thank you for the gifts you have given me." So we need to take that time, especially during Lent, so that when Easter comes and we celebrate the fulfillment of all God's plans for salvation, we'll be on fire and we'll take the joy of Easter out into the world. And people will say, "What happened to those people? How come they're joyful all the time?" And then those people will be thirsting for our joy, and they'll want to join us. So as we are nourished now by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which is divine, powerful food, let's pray that we will go into our baptismal lives, our confirmed lives, our married lives, ordained, whatever it is that we're celebrating, and live it more and more deeply as a child of the Lord.